Right. We are going to be reading from, as you can guess from the screen here, Second Chronicles chapter 6. Second Chronicles chapter 6. So please, if you will, turn there with me, and we'll read that in just a moment. If you remember last time, we talked about, well, last time, last on Wednesday, we talked about the context of the Chronicles. Why was it written? What is the point of this particular book? Well, the point of this particular book, both First and Second Chronicles, traditionally understood to have been written by Ezra, the priest and scribe who was a leader in the return of the Jews from Babylonian captivity. King Cyrus, the king of the Persians, had decided it was time, or had allowed them rather, to return to Jerusalem and to their home. And so while again, the reason for this writing, this is Ezra reminding the people of their past, reminding the people of where they came from. First Chronicles deals with all sorts of things concerning the genealogies and the all the background information that we see in Genesis, all the way up through, particularly through the time of David. And so all talking about what the Jews were doing, what the Levites were doing, the people from Judah and the Levites, what they're doing there in David's time. And then we see Second Chronicles, which takes on a more historical note. There's not as nearly as many an onslaught of names that are given in Second Chronicles. But it is rather interesting. And in chapter 6, as we read through this, we are going to see that this, I want you to put yourselves in the mind of a Jew who is returning to his home. You just spent 70 years, perhaps you were born in captivity, perhaps you're an elderly person, and you remember what things were like before the captivity. And you're reminded of all these things. I want you to put yourselves in that shoe, in those shoes, as we read through this chapter. This chapter is as the temple is being constructed, this first temple that Solomon had built. And this first temple is being dedicated with this prayer that Solomon gives here in this chapter. And this is the temple that was destroyed by Babylon 70 years prior. If you're one of the original listeners to this particular thing that's being written by Ezra here, as recorded from his understanding of what happened, and of course with the inspiration of God. I want you to think about that. Put yourselves in a Jew who has just returned. Put yourselves in his shoes as we read through this. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled what his hands with his hands what he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there, nor did I choose any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. Yet I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name may be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temp to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well. You did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build a temple, but your son who will come from your body, he shall build a temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke. And I have filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord of God of Israel. And there I have put the ark in which the covenant of the Lord, which he made with the children of Israel. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. For Solomon had made, we'll skip this part just a little bit, verse 14. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you. You keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what my promised what you promised your father David, or servant David. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have spoken, you have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way, and that they walk in my law as you have walked before me. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer of your servant, which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel, and when they pray toward this place, hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. If anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, bringing retribution on the wicked by bringing his way on his own head and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Or if your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, big point, because they have sinned against you, and return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to them and their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone on or by all your people Israel, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hands to this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive, and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of the sons of men, that they may fear you to walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray in this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all people of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemies wherever you send them, and when they pray to you toward this city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven, their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause, for they sin against you. For there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to a land far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done wrong and have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried captive and pray toward their land, which you gave their fathers at the city, which you have chosen, and toward the temple, which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be opened and let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David. Now, the original readers of this, now the people not listening to Solomon at this time, because this is a dedication of the temple in the time of Solomon, but if you are listening to this, what Ezra had written here of the words of Solomon, if you're listening to this, you no doubt are thinking such great thoughts. I mean, this temple that had been destroyed is now, it is at this time that Solomon is speaking, is the place that they are to worship. This is the place where God is heard. But at the same time, we note that even that God doesn't really dwell there. He dwells there, but who can really contain him? He dwells in heaven. He is the God of heaven, and that is his dwelling place. And they can still pray, and he be heard. God is not destroyed because the temple is destroyed. They're still able. There's still hope. God is still there and will help them. We see, especially in the latter part of this, that and we also see it before that, we see the motivation to rebuild the temple, because the temple is where God will hear them. Sure, God will hear them outside of the temple, but God will hear them, and sins can be truly, well, can be forgiven through the sacrifices that are given, and all the sacrificial system that they have can be re-implemented, and they can take care of these things. But then we see in verse 36, there is no one who does not sin. Everybody sins. When they sin, when they're taken captive, Solomon isn't speaking here prophetically, and Ezra isn't intending for that to be the case. We note that when we did Leviticus chapter 26, and also the curses presented in Deuteronomy, that this was a potential outcome. If they were guilty for an extended period, then they would be taken captive. And we understand that this is the problem that we see here. They have been taken captive. They had been taken captive because of their sinfulness. And the Lord says, when they turn to you, hear them. And that gives courage. That encourages the people as they're listening to this, as the people are listening to this prayer of Solomon. They recognize that all the way back then, that if Solomon said this, that their prayer will be heard, that their sins are forgiven, then their sins are forgiven. And they trust in this word that Ezra had written of the words of Solomon, Ezra the inspired writer, assuming Ezra is the writer. What can we learn from that? What benefits help us there? How do we benefit from this? Well, first off, we sin. We sin. We fall short of the glory of God. He says right there in verse 36, for there is no one who does not sin. Everyone has sinned. Everyone falters. Everyone makes mistakes. What we need to do is repent and turn to God in such times. We need to make sure that we are where we need to be, in a right relationship with Him, so that our prayer will be heard, so that He will listen to us and our sins can ultimately be forgiven. And of course, for us, it's not the temple, it's not the sacrificial system that they're under. For us, it's the system of Christ. It is Jesus and the system that he has presented for us, that he has fulfilled for us by dying on the cross for you and me. I encourage you to live righteously, to recognize that, yeah, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to sin, but I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right the next time. I'm going to do better next time. I encourage you all to do that. I encourage you, first of all, to be a child of God. And any time, now is the right time, but any time really is a great time for that. You don't have to wait for us to meet together. If you know who we are, if you can get in touch with us, please. We'd love to help you to obey the gospel at any time that you are needing that. And really, there is no better life to live as a child of God. And I encourage you to make that choice today. In a few moments, there'll be some instructions on the screen. If you need to make things right with God, man, what better time than now? If you are a Christian and you need to make things right with Him, and you need to ask for prayers, man, let us know that too. There'll be some instructions on the screen in just a moment for how you can do that. Man, we want you to get to heaven. We want to see you there, brother, sister. We want to see you there. So please make things right with God today. If you have a need, please let us know as we sing this song.